Okay, we are going to learn one gatha. That gatha is here, and the satang asatanti yamahuloke tamupanisya pahuti chandu. This satam means pleasurable feeling and enticing object. Asata means displeasure feeling and repulsive object. So in other words, this particular pair, you can see sata is pleasurable feeling and the enticing object is this physical neutrona. And the asata means displeasure feeling and the repulsive object. Because of this pair, Buddha is saying that we get this chanjasa, sensual desire. So what it means is whether you like it or not, this particular belt is rotating. Physical nutriment, contact as nutriment, feeling, coveting, and this one is rotating. So then you can understand when it is sata, pleasurable feeling and enticing feeling, object, then it is actually rotating, you get the desire. Buddha is saying when you have the displeasure, feeling and repulsive object also, it is happening. Is it so? You see, if they have tied your hand, then you want to separate it. If they put you in jail, you want to get out of it. So that is the displeasure feeling and repulsive object. In that case also desire arises. When this belt is rotating, then this consciousness is constructed. And from that consciousness, then you get the name and form. The form is physical nutriment, or the name part, the contact, feeling, perception, volition, and attention. That is the name part. So in the next gatha, what it is saying, namancha rupancha paticca pasu, conditioned by name and form is contact. So in other words, when the consciousness is established, then we get the name and form. From the name and form, we get the contact. That means there is an another belt coming from the right side and joining with the contact. So then now two belts are rotating. Appropriation have their course as longing. So you can see this appropriation is marked over here. And it is because of the ichcha, that is craving. Because of the craving, we get the appropriation. And then you understand, you learn the appropriation of external object lead to my making. So now next one is saying, when longing isn't, mindness does not exist. You don't say this, I is mine, body is mine, and here is mine, that mindness does not exist. When the forms have disappeared, contact don't touch. In other words, form is very powerful. If there is no form, then there won't be contact. His Pali word is vibhuta, that how to disappear this form. There are three things. One is called jnanta vibhuti in Pali. It is called elements. So you look at the element point of view. You know, element of extension, element of cohesion, element of motion, and element of heat, and not regarding any of those things as mine. Therefore, you can exceed the form. Thereby, you get rid of the contact. And then there is this something called Thirana Vibhuti, like the Sila Sutta that you just studied. So, in the Sila Sutta, you are looking at impermanence. Now, having established impermanence in your mind, would you later on saying, no, it is permanent? Now you got this some sort of a decision that it is impermanent. So from that one also, you can exceed the form. And then the third one is this, what is called Prahana Vibhuta. That is that abandonment of form does not tolerate a thought of sensual desire, ill will, and harm in thought. So in other words, if you want to exceed the form that way, that means you are not going through this path, physical neutron path going down, and then you are not going through this path, physical neutron to contact path, and physical need, perception path, and you are not going through any of these things, then also you can exceed the form. And the fourth one is called Samatikkam Vibhuta, that means the formless pre-attainment. So you go to the, space is infinite, consciousness is finite, that level of attainment. It does not mean just by going to the space is infinite level of attainment and then you are holding to it, then you exceed the form. Now, if you are not holding to anything, then you can exceed the form. So, whatever way out of these four, if you exceed the form, then Buddha is saying, then there won't be any contact. So, form is very powerful. Why we learn this gatha? This is the called Pindole diagram, very powerful diagram. We learn this one for two purposes. One is that you need to learn this sata sata, that is the pleasurable feeling and enticing object, displeasure feeling and repulsive object. So because of that one, this belt is rotating, and that we will be using in the next one, next diagram. And also that whatever the, the virtue discourse, sila, sutta, this morning meditation experience can be used. So if you have a decision, you can exceed the form, that it is impermanent. So it's an application of that one can be used here. So that is the purpose of showing this one. So let us go to the gatha where you are going to meditate upon. So here this gatha says, anger, untruth and doubts, these states arise merely because of the existence of this duality. So you can see nearby the hate, down there we have anger. And then untruth, that is lying. It is also colored in yellow here. And the doubt. These three dhamma, or these three ideas, are actually coming because of the duality. What is the duality here? The enticing of pleasurable feeling and the enticing object, displeasure feeling and the repulsive object. Because of this pair, this belt is rotating, and the result of that rotation of this belt would be these three: anger, doubt, and then the line part over here, untruth. So now it says, let the doubt train himself by way of knowledge path. So there is a knowledge path written here, the green lines, which we will discuss in a little while. And then understand these states as taught by the recluse. So, you see, when your body got wrinkled, you are subject to aging, then there is this ad coming on TV. If you apply oil of Yule, then you can get rid of those wrinkles. So having seen that ad, then you take this oil of Yule and then apply in your body for a month or so. And then after a month, you see your face is the same. No difference. You spend money, time and also all those things and nothing happened. So then you have this problem. Doubt is there. You see this nearby, around this the anger, but we have the reality, aging, sickness and death, and all those things are there around it. Aging, sickness, sadness are there. Now without believing that one, that you actually thought that ad that went on TV, that is the truth, that is the lying now. And you also have a doubt, because someone else is saying, when I apply that one, then it fixes my problem. So then you might be thinking, maybe I did not apply correctly. So, or else let us say, in a company or a department, if something is broken, and then they inform the head of the department about it, and then that head is actually calling the section that they actually prepare these things, and then tell them, that this has It is broken, now you go and fix it. Now he always thinks it got to be a way. It can be fixed, that's what he is thinking. And then those people having examined it and coming back report to him that we can't fix it. We have aging infrastructure. Now, if you have old computers, you can't run it as new ones. So now the department head has got the doubt. You know, around the anger, that is aging, sadness, sickness, all those things are there. That is the truth. So he thought it can be fixed. So that is this, you know, that now he has a doubt what he thought that it can be fixed. Is that one is the truth. And then he has a doubt. Although these people can't fix it, there may be someone outside. So department head is the one who wants to actually go further. He wants to improve. So that person is thinking from which one, that I am actually losing my money. Then he would be sort of hearing that, you know, going after women and then, you know, walking in a bad times and so on. Then you lose your wealth and so on. So this person want to improve. So he is actually going through this knowledge path. So let us look at this gatha appear in Mahanidesa. And then every discourse of the Buddha is a knowledge path to the Nibbana. And it's only appearing about this. It's called Jnanapatha, knowledge path, only in Mahanidesa. So I asked Sambhati Mahabrahma, how did that happen? He said that the Gautama Buddha has preached, let us say, something called 16,000, he said, Banavara. So that's how the Akanita Brahmarala measure those things. And let us say this Dhamma terms or whatever it is not the term, I can't really define it. And then he said that out of that one, 12,000 got destroyed, only 4,000 left. And those 4,000 are the ones in that, those about 52 books are there, and it is spread around that one. You have learned a little bit of that one. So what happened to that? They somehow got destroyed. Some people destroy it and it got destroyed. So that is why it is difficult for you to understand this Dhamma, because the Buddha preached Dhamma in lengthy way and those things are destroyed. Long length sayings has got about 32 discourses, but some of them we can say stated in short. So let us go and see that document. And this is the gatha, krodho mosa vajjanca katankataca etepi dhamma dhoveva sante katankati jnana pataya sikke jnatva pautta samanena dhamma. Anger, untruth and doubt, these states arise merely because of the existence of this duality. Let a doubter train himself by way of knowledge path to understand these states as taught by the recluse. So katankati jnana pataya sikke, a doubter train himself by way of knowledge path. So what is the knowledge path? Knowledge itself is a knowledge path. The objects of knowledge is a knowledge path. The ideas arising from knowledge is a knowledge path. Now this has to be seen as in the way to become divine being is a deva path. So what is that one? You need to practice virtue so that you can be born in divine world. The way to become Brahma is a Brahma path. So that you know, loving kindness, metta, compassion, karuna, apprecy to joy, mudita, and equanimity, upekka. So if you have those things, then you can be born in Brahma world. And the way to become noble, Aryan, is the Noble Eightfold Path. So in the same way, knowledge itself is a knowledge path. Object of knowledge is a knowledge path. The ideas arising from knowledge is also a knowledge path. And he says, Jnana Patha is Sikke. Sikke means train. So there are three types of training. Trained by higher morality. Trained by higher thought. Trained by higher wisdom. So what is this trained by higher morality? You know, as a householder, you got to have 5 precepts. You refrain from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct. And then you refrain from lying as well as taking intoxicating drinks. And if you are a person going through eightfold path, not only lying, you need to prevent harsh speech, slander and frivolous talks. If you have right livelihood, then you got to have quite a lot virtue. A Buddhist monk should be following quite a lot virtue. And the trained by higher thought, that is this first, second, third and fourth jhana concentration. And we touch upon those things yesterday as well. Remember that aloof from the sense pleasures, aloof from unskilled state of the mind, enter and abide in the first jhana concentration, which is rapturous. So with initial application and sustained application, initial application, sustained application is that thought of renunciation, thought of non-malevolence, thought of non-harm. So for that one, we were looking at the 32 parts of the body and its excrement and urine and so on. So then you could get rid of that one. And then you get the rapture. So you are happy with the rapture, but you have to pay the price. You need to contemplate, you know, hair of the body, nails, teeth and so on. Now you remember. It is in the urine board. So then you don't have initial application, sustained application. Then you go to the second jhana concentration, which is rapturous. And then there is, you see the peril. When you have the rapture, you feel physically. And if you feel something physically, then you can get attached to it. So having seen this peril, that having seen this danger, you fade away rapture and go into the third jhana. And it has got pleasure. And although we are saying it's pleasurable, and what is there in the world is suffering. So then you think this pleasure that has arisen is a temporary thing. And then actuality is the suffering, it will come to arise. Then, so then you get the equanimity. You are going to the fourth jhana, you get rid of the pleasure and the displeasure both, and then you are in the fourth jhana concentration. So that is this trained by higher thought. And then the trained by higher wisdom. And that is that, you know, when you attain to a noble level by contemplating arising and passing away phenomena, then you have the trained by higher wisdom. So doubter with various doubts, having shame in mind, to gain wisdom, train himself by way of knowledge path. So here something Pali word is chitta vileka, is that shame in mind. You know, you are ashamed when you do bad things, killing, stealing, sexual misconduct. You are also ashamed when you do verbal bad things like lying, harsh speech, frivolous talks and slander. And there are things that we do bad from our mind. So there are wrong view, ill will and covetousness. Now you are actually quite ashamed of doing that one, that I had this wrong view, I didn't have the right view. I had this covetousness, I didn't have the non-covetousness. And I had ill will, I didn't have non-ill will. So then you are ashamed of those things as well. So, jnātvā means knowing. Buddha preached them knowingly, having examined, having the judgment. Having judgment means, as in Sila Sutta, the judgment that form is impermanent, subject to suffering. So when you get that one, then a little while later you are not going to say that no, now it is permanent. You got some sort of a judgment. And knowing that all formations are impermanent, subject to suffering and not self. And knowing that ignorance as conditioned volitional formation come to be. With volitional formation as conditioned, consciousness come to be. With consciousness as condition, the name and form, etc., dependent origination. This is the meaning of this gatha. So let us go back to the diagram. So how do we enter this knowledge path? You enter this knowledge path from, you know, remember we learn painful way with slow realization. You are looking at the foul nature, the loathsomeness in food, loathsomeness in body, detachment from all formations, and then that the sabbaloke anivirata sanya, that is this detachment from all the world, and then the perception of death. When you do that meditation, you came to the first jhana concentration, which is rapturous. From that one, you did the mindfulness regarding the body. There you understand, because of the existence, birth come to be. Remember, one seek delight, one welcome path. So, with that understanding, you come to what is called Dibba Vihara. That is the first abiding. There, you touch the Nibbana. Then you understood that, you know, you were living like a worm in cow dung. So I don't need to be here. So Nibbana is there. So you got the effort. And then you gave up sensual thought, ill thought and harming thought. And then when you do that one, then you are away from the cow dung. Then you saw a worm in the cow dung having born there, is subject to aging, sickness and death. So the effort is the one that we were talking about, you know, sensual thought, ill thought, harming thought, I don't want. So that is the effort. So you enter this one. So now you see the verb in the cow dung is subject to this birth, aging, sickness and death. And then you found that you cannot cure this verb in the cow dung. That it's always dying. Whatever thing you give, whatever medicine you give, it is dying. So you came to the determination for truth, Satcha Dittana. And then having got that one, then you found that everything is in the world is subject to falsity. What is lasting is Nibbana. So then your desire for non-lasting consciousness subsides. And then the desire arises for the lasting Nibbana. That is the concentration due to desire. So we have mark from that path, effort and the desire. All the other ones are there. And when you come to this desire, concentration due to desire, you want Nibbana. Now if you are respecting your effort for the purpose of attaining Nibbana, then you can go to this number 10, empty. It is like, you know, that some people drink alcohol and then sleep, get up in the morning and then vomit, and then saying, I am not going to drink these dirty things anymore. And then in the afternoon, a friend is coming and friend is asking, shall we have a drink? Then you forgot what you said in the morning and then you drink again. So if you are not behaving like that drunken fellow, then you can come to emptiness. In other words, in the morning means this effort you had, this I don't want sensual thought, ill thought and harming thought. And when you reach concentration due to desire, now still you are maintaining, I don't want sensual thought, ill thought and harming thought, I want Nibbana. So then you can go to emptiness over here. And you understand this one is the sometimes fourth jhana, sometimes the seventh jhana, sometimes liberation due to mind. So there is another way to reach this one. You know, concentration discourse, first meditation you did in the course. Now if you seek delight in the eye, would the eye would it be empty? It won't be empty. But if I don't seek delight in the eye, if I don't welcome, if I don't remain holding to it, then you can see it becomes empty. So in other words, if you apply the concentration discourse to eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind, that the, you know, passing away phenomena, one does not seek delight, does not welcome, does not remain holding to it, then you can come to emptiness. There is another way. The meditation you just did. You had a baby type of body birth, was subject to aging. sickness and death. And after death, you are in the mind-made body. You have not eaten, so it is suffering. And you are separated from the baby type body, so it is impermanent. So when you go down, you are saying impermanent and suffering. When you are going to right side, you are saying it is changing. So you wrote down over here, if it is impermanent, subject to suffering and change, is it befitting to regard as mine? If you answer correctly, then you come to number 10. And remember that we did this by giving merit rose meditation. And then when we went through 32 parts of the body. And so you saying this excrement, urine, bile, all those things are not mine. Having done that one, you might sort of think, oh, these are disgusting things, they are not mine, but this baby is mine. So in other words, you have a doubt. If you don't have such a doubt, you can go to this wisdom over here. So from the wisdom, then you get the faith. So which one is bigger? Is it the faith bigger or the wisdom bigger? Normally people think wisdom is the bigger one. Wisdom is not the bigger one, faith is the bigger one. Now, why is it so? You see, in Akanita Brahmaram, there is this first, who is called Mandaladipati Udupiya, who has heard Dhamma from 2500 Buddhas after his enlightenment. He is enlightened, but still listen to Dhamma from 2500 Buddhas. He is still not saying that I am equivalent to the Buddha. So, why is it? They are disciples of the Buddha. They are not the Buddha itself. So, Buddha took one day, you know, sort of leaves to his hand and say, ask the monks, which one is bigger? You know, the leaves in my hand or the leaves in this forest? So, monks are replying, the leaves that are in the forest are the great, more, and this is small. So, Buddha said, what I preached is the ones that are in my hand. And what I know is the one in the forest. Buddha preaches very small amount of Dhamma. He knows quite a lot. Buddha preaches what is required for Nibbana. But his knowledge is so vast. And some Dhamma we can actually hear from those Arahants in the Akanita Brahma realm. Even if you know that one, it is forbidden to say it. Why? You say the birth, aging, sickness, death, these are visible for anyone. And even for that one, people are saying, you know, Buddha said negative thing. For this visible truth. So if you tell something that you cannot understand, then you will be blaming Buddha. So although you know that it's difficult to give, sometimes this Dhamma, although you know it is not possible to give to people because they are not in the level of understanding. Faith and wisdom are equivalent only for Buddha. All the other people, the wisdom is less than the faith. So this is not a blind faith, it is a noble person's faith here we are talking about. And from the faith you get the sense of shame. That is that you are ashamed of doing this bad conduct like killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, harsh speech, frivolous talk, slander and so on. Remember we were learning the control in the senses, prudent. The prudent will be here just underneath this disparaging. In other words, if you draw a line from faith via shame, sense of shame, then you are coming over here to prudent. An example would be that, let us say in a village, there is a couple and husband is telling the wife, don't have sexual misconduct. So wife is behaving, not having sexual misconduct. Not only sexual misconduct, that she is not having killing, stealing. The precepts are there. So the villagers in the village is saying this couple is behaving well. So that way you can see you can have become prudent over here. So if this is the father and the mother, father is, let us say this one is the Buddha faith. So then there are children, is this fear of wrongdoing. See, there is an arrow coming over here. That is fear of wrongdoing. So now you are afraid of killing, stealing, etc. And you know, it's like that when parents are going out, then they are saying to their children, don't put this, don't poke with an iron pin or something inside the plug. You will get electric shock. Likewise, Buddha said, don't do killing, stealing, that you are going to hell. So when you come to the fear of wrongdoing, then you get the effort over here. So this is the effort that you get rid of the sensual thought, ill thought and harming thought. So that's where we started, isn't it? So now you can go through the path again if you want. Effort, desire, emptiness, number 10, wisdom, faith, sense of shame, fear of wrongdoing and effort. But there is another path. You see, I can go over here to the mindfulness and then to the emptiness. You can see that path is shorter. This diagram has been constructed to a scale. If you even measure it, you can see it is shorter than going via the concentration due to desire. That path. So, what is that path? This path is second jhana and above. You see, now this person is remembering. When you say excrement, and you know, when you say hair, it is in the boat of excrement and urine. So he's, you know, the physical nutriment is outside over here. So he remember. So he can go in that path. Let us see that path. Effort, mindfulness, and then wisdom. This is the emptiness, number 10. And then the wisdom, faith, sense of shame, fear of wrongdoing, and then you are coming to the effort and then mindfulness. So that part is sort of middle level path. Now you can see there is another path which is shorter. Mindfulness, number 10, empty, wisdom, faith, and straight away you are coming to the mindfulness. What is that path? That path is the formless fear. So arupa jhana. So we can write down on this line, formless fear, formless, no form. Formless sphere. Those attainments, like, you know, space is infinite, consciousness is infinite, plane of nothing and so on. Now, that part you can see, it is formless, isn't it? Why? Where is the form in this diagram? It's only one form, that is the physical neutron. So this path is away from that one. It is not inside that. So you know that person playing gymnastic, and that you can train in this knowledge path like a person playing gymnastic. So let us say there are three pegs in the strain at the point of effort, mindfulness, and wisdom. A person playing gymnastic and then you know, looking at the physical nutriment side, jump up and hold into this wisdom, and then swing his body, and then put the leg above, your knee is above the mindfulness, and then you lock with under the effort like this one, and then the knee is above the mindfulness, and then your stomach is there, and then wisdom. What does that person see? Physical nutriment. This wise person knows that it's not good to look at the physical nutriment because you get the ignorance. So what do? You let go of that one, let go of this hand hold, not hold into wisdom, let it go. So you are hanging from the legs. And then you are coming over here to number 10. So this particular line is the sixth jhana. And in the sixth jhana, what do you see? Over here you can see the doubt is there, blind part is there, and the sickness, death, that sort of thing. So they are not good to look at. So then you swing your body again and then hold into the wisdom and let go of the legs. So legs are coming to the number 10. So this is the seventh jhana for number 10 to wisdom. Now inside that one, what you see? In that line, there is a doubt, isn't it? Can I stay in the seventh jhana? You can't. So, and also what you are actually looking at. Now you can see over here, this birth, aging, you know, sickness, those things are there. And also anger is there. So it is not good to look at that one. So you take your whole body on the top of this one, these three pegs, and you are looking down. So this is the eighth jhana. Neither perception nor non-perception. From the mindfulness to the wisdom. Now when you get out of the eighth jhana, what do you see? You see anger, doubt, and the lying, untruth is there. And also in the bottom, you can see birth, aging, sickness, death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, all those, the 12 kind of suffering. That's what you see. Then remember that yesterday, we were looking at in the Vammika Sutta, 5 hindrances, sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and worry and the doubt. From this on, we will see a chair in a little while. So you can see the first, you see a sort of bench. One leg is doubt to worry, the other one is restlessness to sloth and torpor. Now there is some sort of a bench over here. Extend the bench. If you extend the bench, it is coming to the sensual desire. So let us say a man putting his legs towards this worry part and putting his head to sensual desire, and you know, like this, one looking at the physical neutron. What will happen if you look at the physical neutron with the sensual desire? Then you get the ignorance. So in other words, his head now comes into ignorance. Now you can see there is a chair. Now this is ignorance, the worry and doubt. So you can see this is the chair. And then, so this person, his bottom is over here, worry. And there is knee about sloth and torpor. Now what he actually, what he sees? He sees lack of faith and unmindfulness, not having a mindfulness. Absence of awareness, and far away he sees the physical nature. It is not good to look at those things. So then one can actually move forward and then look at the down over here. So what you see over here, you know, not restrained of the sense faculties and the birth is there. And if you look at underneath your chair, you can see the sickness, death and those things are there. So it is not good to see it either. So then you can see that you are leaning a part of the chair. You sometimes, small children are, you know, crawling through that one, and then they look down. You know, then when they look down, they want to see the lying, harsh speech, slander, and over here death is there because that person died before. And then if you look at underneath, then you can see the sickness because you had a sickness to die. So that is not good to see as well. So then I turn into the right side of the chair. So when you turn into the right side of the chair, you can see you are away from the mental volition. So you can't stay for a longer time away from the volition. So then I turn to left side of the chair. When you turn to left side of the chair, what do you see? Birth, aging, sickness, death, sorrow, lamentation, all those things. At that time, I said that a wise person can never sit down on this chair. At that time, I went to the cessation of feeling and perception. Nirodha Samapatti. So what you need to do in the meditation, you go through this knowledge path. And like a gymnastic person, you play and sit down on the chair. And if you come to the same conclusion that you can't sit down here, then you can go to the cessation of feeling and perception. You do not know anything after that particular point. Like, you know, it's better than you sleeping. So how do you do this meditation? So here you need to enter this knowledge path. That is the meditation you have already done. Yesterday morning, first meditation. Painful way with slow realization. So there are 5 meditations. You don't have to do all 5. That is, remember that loathsomeness in food, loathsomeness in body. It is a foulness. And then detachment from all the world. And then impermanence in all formations. Perception of death. When you do that one, you come to the first jhana concentration. And then you came to the mindfulness regarding the body. And there you were understanding, because of the existence, birth come to be. You are understanding a link in dependent origination. With that understanding, whatever concentration come to arise, it is very fruitful. Now you are touching Nibbana. That is what is called Dibba Vihara, or first abiding. So then you understand that I was living like a worm in a cow dung. I was eating and swimming and all those things. Now I don't have to be here. Nibbana is there. So then you get the effort. So you get the will to go into this, get rid of this sensual thought, ill thought and harming thought. That is the effort marked over here. So you enter the knowledge path. And when you are away from the cow dung, you see the worm in the cow dung having born there, subject to aging, sickness and death. So birth, aging, sickness, death, that means first noble truth. So, and then you understand there is no way that we can cure this worm. Whatever food we give, whatever medicine we give, whatever teaching we made, and that, you know, this worm is going to die. So that is, you came to determination for truth. Everything in the world is subject to falsity. Whatever thing lasting is the Nibbana. So then you get the desire for attaining the Nibbana. Your desire for non-lasting consciousness subsides and you get the desire for attainment of Nibbana. So that is the concentration due to desire. When you come over here, then if you are not behaving like that drunken fellow, you are still putting effort to reach Nibbana, then you can come to number 10. Or else if you apply your first meditation, concentration meditation, you apply to eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind, and then you say the passing away phenomena, one does not seek delight, does not welcome, does not remain holding. So if you are not seeking delight from the eye, I become empty. So you can get into the emptiness over here. And the easiest way is the meditation you did this morning. And then this arrow. You know, you had a baby type body birth. You are subject to aging, sickness and death. After death, you are in the mind-made body. You have not eaten many days, many years. That is suffering. You are separated from the baby type body. This is impermanent. So when you are going down, you are saying impermanent and suffering. And you are going across, you are saying it is changing. That is aging. So you wrote down if it is impermanent, subject to suffering and change, is it befitting for me to regard as mine? So then if you answer correctly, then you are coming to emptiness over here. So when you come over here, depending on your skill, then you don't have doubt, you go to the wisdom and then you can go through these paths. And then, like a gymnastic person, how he is playing. You go into various positions and then you sit down on that chair. I mean, sit down on the chair. If you are saying, wise person can't sit down on this one, then you can reach cessation of feeling and perception. So that is the meditation.